Listen, I was saying something earlier. Exodus chapter 4. Don't bother opening to it because I'm watching my time. God called Moses, and then on the way, the Bible says that now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him, sought to put him to death. Like I was saying earlier, before I left that and went to something else, as a young believer, I was wondering, how, which kind of translation am I missing? No, there's nothing. This is what happened. God called Moses. Moses was not obeying the precepts of God. Even though God called him, he sank. He began to sink, let me put it like that. And Zipporah shouted on his behalf, like Peter, Lord, save us. How did she do it? She quickly took the son and circumcised him. Go and listen to my series, Learning from Moses. In that, I explained what happened. Why God wanted to kill Moses. And then later on, I explained why God eventually succeeded in killing Moses. You know, he finally killed him. But that was much later. And there are reasons. These were recorded for our learning. Why was it here? Now, listen to what I want to say carefully. And I want to go into the next thing that I was about to say when I was talking about Genesis. Why was it here that Moses was about to die, even though God called him? That's why I read verse 21 first. God called him, put an anointing in his hand, said, when you get to the place where you start that church, this is what you will do. And the man on the way to go and start the church, he had an accident and died. And some people said, God didn't speak to him. God said, I spoke to him. Where was he going? Where was going? Immediately, why were you not with him? There are many reasons people die. I called them. It's no guarantee that they won't die. If they are not going to die, they have to be careful to circumcise every offspring in their lives. And I've been warning this one, circumcise, circumcise. When he didn't circumcise, I'm sorry, I'm judge. I'm not only father, I'm also judge. When accusation rose up against him, I signed the decree. And I'm sorry, he's dead. In this particular situation, the man did not circumcise his son. He did not make a separation. Now, I'm talking about grace. So that we are careful we don't kill grace and we are careful to activate it. He did not make a separation between the old and the new. He did not make a separation between Egypt and the promised land. He did not make a separation between the world and the church. He did not make a separation between light and darkness. That was the meaning of circumcision. And when Moses did not do that, death came upon him. And listen, that's one of the things I want to explain. Be careful how you interpret death as believers. We must be very careful. What happens a lot of times is that, you know, this enemy focus we have these days is a trouble, is a bane, is a disease in Christianity. Every little thing, my enemy. You know, Ken Hagin, I was listening to him yesterday. He said, he counted it, that he had never fallen seriously sick in his life after he rose up from that initial problem, unless he was disobeying God. There was a time his wife said, let's go, let's leave this moving around. He and his wife, they agreed, let us go and settle down, start passing the church. He went to that church to go and agree to start. He went to the toilet, decided to urinate, pure blood came out. He said, God, please, what is going on here? He said, who brought you here to pastor which church? Said to people, I'm not the pastor again. Thank you. Now, you know what I'm going to explain? Sometimes we focus so much on this devil. When we are beginning to sink, we are saying it is the devil. My enemies, they've climbed my shoulders. They say I must sink. They are pushing me down. Holy Ghost fire upon them. God said, listen, my friend, you are sinking because of your unbelief. You are shouting Holy Ghost fire on people who don't even know you are here. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Maybe what happened here was that Moses suddenly began to feel. In fact, Ken Hagin will tell you that one of those times when they went. Now, there are two stories now. Let me not mix them up too much. But I think both of them had to do when he decided to go and accept the pastorate of a church. When God said, stop pastoring churches, go and do something else. Leave this pastoring to the people I called to do it. That was when he said he began to pee. So he had a bladder infection. Suddenly it was febrile, he was sick. So let him go to the toilet. Next thing he peed, it was blood. He quickly settled and said, Lord, what is going on? And the Holy Spirit began to talk to him. He will tell you the time he broke his arm. It was because he was not obeying the precepts of God. I'm not discussing those things in details. One of those times he collapsed and died. Essentially, his heart stopped. He just, before he fainted, just called my wife. Zipporah came, that's his wife. Zipporah arrived quickly, knelt down, and began to circumcise. What was her circumcision? Lord, I'm sorry. You want to take him? Take him. Let him go. Because then he used to travel a lot, and the woman too wanted a settled family. Then she circumcised her desires, circumcised her heart. He did the same thing, and instantly he became well. Instantly. But you know what we are taught? My enemy that said my heart will stop. People now gather and be firing enemies. You've heard the story before about Satan that they met in front of a church. Somebody saw Satan sitting down crying. Satan, why are you crying? He says, these people inside here. Anything that happens in their life, they say, it's me. Even when I don't know about it. He said, please help me beg them. Listen, in this particular place, Moses almost died, even though God called him. Peter began to sink, even though God called him. And in both cases, we see the reasons why these things were happening. In one case, Jesus said, it's because of your doubt. It's because of unbelief. It's because of fear. In another case, he said, why did you not circumcise your son? I'm not teaching that in details now, but I taught it then on why God wanted to kill Moses. In our Learning from Moses series. But I want to explain something here further about this circumcision thing, which is what happens when people don't focus on the word of grace. What happens in life is this. Now, listen to this. I have to repeat it again and again. You have already succeeded in life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The manifestation is by the operation of the grace of God. Give me an amen.
Amen.
We started by grace. Paul said, having begun in the spirit, are we not going to perfect it in the flesh? We started by grace. We will finish by grace.
Amen.
Every obstacle, I want to explain that as we are going on. Every obstacle in the life, in the path of progress of a believer, must be interpreted as a call to a higher dimension of grace operations. It must never be interpreted as a call to being smarter. It must never be interpreted as a call to having better arrangement. It must never be interpreted as a call, all right, to having a better, you know, structure that fits the things of the world that already exists. Because that was the interpretation that Israel gave their troubles, so they demanded for a king. I preached a message here then titled, So What is Wrong with a King? I'll explain a bit of it, but go and get the message. That was the issue. They said, why are our enemies always attacking us? They said, it's because we don't have a king. Why do they raid our villages? It is because we don't have a king. Why do they overpower us? It is because we don't have a king. So go to Samuel and go and tell him we need a king. And Samuel said, what you have done is to reject God. But why did they decide to get a king? It was because that was their own worldly interpretation of what their problems were. Meanwhile, what God said is that anytime any of my children have problems, you should interpret it as a call to walk in a higher dimension of grace. God said to them, in effect, the reason why you were having problems was because of disobedience. It was not because you didn't have a king. Why are you having problems in that business, that ministry, that career? Because you are beginning to mix. Now listen to what I want to talk about. You are beginning to mix light with darkness. Put a pause on what I was saying earlier. Let me shift into this particular gear. What do I mean by mixing light with darkness? I said earlier, for us believers, when we start succeeding in life, it's pure grace. There was a time Abraham went to war on behalf of Lot and rescued the things that belonged to the king of Sodom. And at the end of the day, king of Sodom said, you can have everything, let me have the men. And you know what Abraham said? Take everything back. I don't want it to be said that you made Abraham rich. My glory I will give to no other. Abraham was seeing the mind of God, and he was saying, in effect, I don't want to pollute this blessing. I don't want the name of the Lord to be taken in vain. For that reason, I will do my things in such a manner that only God can take the glory. You see, what are you talking about? I'll explain. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. What did he now do? The Bible says, he separated the light from the darkness. Until I read this some weeks ago or some months ago, I always used to say, darkness is the absence of light. Except the Bible never said so. The Bible said there can be light and darkness sitting side by side. And it is the responsibility of the child of God to separate the light from the darkness. When light shines, light starts shining. Darkness waits there. Then you have to go and separate the light and say, move back. Say that to darkness and bring light to the side. That's why God said, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's why God said, come out from amongst them and be ye separate and do not touch the unclean thing. The truth is that light and darkness can coexist. You know what? Sometime later, if I don't know whether that's what started it or I read it here first, I found out in the earth, physicists, those of you know who do advanced physics and advanced mathematics, you know that they said there's what they call dark matter. I never even heard of it until some months ago. Dark matter. And it's there. They can't see. They don't know what it does. I suddenly realized that. Was that what God removed after I created light? You know, say, was not God was saying this will be morning, this will be evening? No. The sun and the moon were not created until days later. Darkness is a tangible substance. Light is a tangible substance. The appearance of light does not automatically dispel that darkness. The child of God has a responsibility, like God. The Bible says God saw the light that it was good. For that reason, he came to his company and said, in this company, we are not mixing divine favor with human favor anymore. Are you getting my point? In this ministry, we are not using human knowledge combined with faith. We either use faith or we don't use faith. If we want to use darkness, let us use darkness. If we want to use faith, it is faith and nothing else. Do you get my point? The problem with Israel was Israel decided to mix darkness with light. Why was Samuel angry? Why was God angry? They wanted to use the method of Philistines to get victory. It's called darkness. Now listen to me. One challenge we have as believers, as we are succeeding in life, as we are moving on with God, is to ensure that every bit of the way we separate light from darkness. I said to us before, as believers, we're not called to succeed in life primarily. Now, let me get my point. I'm not saying that success is wrong. I mean, we're talking about it now. I am saying that God called us to demonstrate righteousness. That for him, demonstrating righteousness is more important than outward success. We must put things in perspective. For example, I'm a businessman. There are things, I call it wisdom for salvation. There are things I put in place, if I'm starting as a Christian businessman, that say, these ones we will not do. No matter what, we will not do it. Why? Because we want to demonstrate the righteousness of God. Let me give you an example, very practical. I've heard the arguments before. How should a Christian treat kickbacks? Do you get my point? Some have said that they hold your contracts. You know, this is how you feed your family without it. So what you just do, you just give them. It's kickback. This is not even extortion. This is what? Kickback. Now, listen to the point I'm trying to make. So I'm being practical now. So we say, maybe I start a business. People tell you that this is how it is. It's Nigeria. It's Nigeria. So by the time you bid for a job, the MD comes to you and says, put 10% extra for me. And if it's a normal politician, it's not 10%. his 80% or 250% extra. I know the truth is this. Let me say something about God. It is not every time that he will defend you. There are times he will just say, he won't say anything, just be looking at you. You go and pray, Holy Ghost, fire, die, die, die. Nobody's going to die. You come next day, the man is on his seat. I say, have you made up your mind? And you're looking at all the fire prayer I paid yesterday. It didn't work on this man. It is God that said it didn't work. It's called the trial of your faith. It's called, will you love your life even unto death? That's just what the matter is. It's just about, God said, what are you going to do? The human logic is, okay, you know, and oftentimes it happens like that. Schools are opening next week. You have one guy in university, two in secondary school, and two other dependents who are dependent on you. Maybe you don't own the house, so rent is annoying. You don't know how the schools and the landlord arranged for everything to be due the same time. And right now, this is the only contract you're expecting. Then this is how Satan does. The Bible says, don't be overly righteous. He's having arguments. It is for the sake of the gospel. My wife has a friend the other day who was preaching that give them the money. When you make the money, you now preach the gospel with it. Okay, it's not her friend. I'm just joking. People see all those kind of things. I want to explain it to you today. It's called mixing light with darkness. Many of us, and that's the issue, many of us, we are doing it till today. We are mixing light with, in fact, that is the main problem. That is why the gospel is not advancing as much as it should. We mix light with what? Darkness. Yes, God has said to us, let my light shine in your hearts. And the light of God is shining. But then darkness is there. And it says, it now says, arise, separate the light from the darkness. Yes, you've heard prophetic words. Yes, you are launching your business with prophecies. Yes, you are moving out into your ministry with grace. Then as you are stepping out, every step of the way, ask yourself, is this light? Is it pure? If it's not pure, where is the darkness? It's a deliberate act. We separate the light from the darkness. Because when we don't, that's what I'm talking about, we hinder the release of grace. Listen, Christianity is that we are going to succeed purely by the flow of the oil of God through the prophesying of the prophets. But if that is going to happen, we have to remove every fragment. And this is the point. Many times, those fragments of darkness are the ones that have a promise for immediate reward. I mean, this man is broke. If he just agrees to jack that enough by 50% and give to the board members, okay, my quotation is for 120 million, but you guys actually make it 200 million, that you will approve it, and I give you 80 million. Now you're not handy day, oh. God sees my heart, oh. It's not me, oh. Know the point? He gets the job immediately. Then the man can buy a nice car, pay all his fees, say all this landlord harassment, quickly start building the house and finish the house. Except that he has done one thing. He has mixed light with darkness. And that begins to put a cap on the amount of grace that can be released in his life. Sometimes that's when I get a bit irritated when I hear some things people preach and they call ministry. You hear so much common sense. And men are not careful to separate light from darkness. In fact, they deliberately buy small darkness. Because the light is not producing quickly. And they mix it. And it gives you quick results. The problem with those kind of results is that it's a quick growth, then it stops. Then the ultimate thing that God wanted to achieve is never done. I hope you're getting my point. That is one major thing we do that inactivates grace. I'm going to emphasize, as believers, we're not trying to learn methods. We're trying to get grace to be released. How does grace manifest? Let me just say that to encourage people. Grace manifests in different ways. It opens a door for you that everybody said was closed. Grace makes you very good. Are you getting my point? Grace makes you very good. What I mean very good is this. You are a teacher. Grace makes you... No, for I was preaching somewhere yesterday evening. And earlier in the day, I had gone to give a lecture to medical students. Now, this will make you laugh. At a point in time along... After I preached for like 15... Did I say preach? After I taught... This was a medical class. I was teaching them vascular pathology. After I taught for about 15 minutes, something struck me. I said, Vanki, you have been teaching with an unction for the last 15 minutes. I was speaking and I was having the same feeling I get when I'm teaching the scriptures. And I was teaching pathology. I was flipping my slides and talking. And I noticed everybody was enraptured. You know, some of the students can be distracted. That one, they were enraptured. Something I just said, Vanki, I used an anointing. Yeah, I noticed it. I just said, you are using an anointing. Listen. Look, you know when people are connecting with you. I know these people, they were having a nice time, and I was teaching them vascular pathology. Grace is not only for preachers. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Grace is for businessmen. Grace is for teachers. University teachers, primary school teachers, secondary school teachers. Grace is available for politicians. If Joseph was living in our day, he would have been a politician. He may not have been to party politics, but he would have worked for the government. He would have been a civil servant of some sort. If Daniel was alive today, he would have been a civil servant. So all the things you found... Now, please get my point. During the days of Babylon, Daniel was not a prophet to Babylon. I hope you understand my point. He was not too. In fact, I was listening to the grouping. Somebody was analyzing the groupings of these Hebrew scriptures. And he said Daniel was not included amongst the prophets. He's part of the Hebrew canon. But when they were grouping it, he was not grouped amongst the prophets. I've forgotten the class where I think they grouped him with the Chronicles and stuff. I'm not very sure now. To let you know that Daniel was a normal person. He was not the typical Jewish kind of prophet, but he operated with grace where he was working. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to emphasize. Trying to say to us, grace is available for everybody. Bezalel, who designed the tabernacle, Bezalel was specially anointed for that job. So if you're a craftsman, you work with your hands, you're a builder, there is grace for whatever it is that you are doing. It's for that thing to flow that we are talking about. That's everything we are saying. That's what we are trying to talk about. That it is crucial that we learn to activate it. And my message today is that we have to be careful that we don't inactivate grace. And that we know what to do to activate it. Okay? What I have said so far is for us to be careful to separate light from darkness. Because the fact that God called us is not the guarantee of success, but that we continually focus on grace so that that grace keeps us going. I have emphasized that life brings distractions so that we'll start trusting the arm of flesh rather than trusting in grace. But I'm saying when you are distracted, the way by which God tells you, oh boy, oh girl, you are distracted is when you start having problems. For example, Peter would have continued walking like that, not looking at Jesus anymore, except that he began to sink. It's not the enemies, it's a distraction. So anytime we have challenges as believers, we must never, ever interpret our challenges as we don't have a king. That's what the problem is. No, it's a call to a higher level of grace work. So if I have problems as a believer, I go back in and say, what is going on? I pray, I take a scripture, I take the Bible, I go back to the word I began this thing with. I begin to meditate. I take a whole weekend. I take a whole week. I say, please, I'm not seeing clients. I'm not talking to anybody. There's a new job we should bid for. We are not bidding again for the next 1 month. Why? We are going to be having, at least I am going away, maintain the office. I need to go and pray. I need to focus on the word of God again. I need to rearrange my head so that I will know exactly what God is saying to me today. That was what Israel was supposed to do. Please go and listen to that, my message. What is wrong with a king? They began to interpret their lives as if they were one of the common nations around. Yes, if the Philistines didn't have a king, they would have problems. But that's not Israel's issue. If the Christian doesn't have connections, it's not the same effect it will have in your life as when the unbeliever doesn't know anybody. If an unbeliever who wants to be, who's doing business does not have investors, he has a set of problems, which we do not have as believers. I was talking about mixing light and darkness. Let me give you the testimony of that man again, Strive Masiyiwa. Strive, the latest publication of the billionaires in Africa. The man, I don't know whether he's on this list or he dropped out of the list or he moved higher in the rank, but he's one of the people that Forbes lists as the billionaires in Africa. But Strive says something. I want to put my own words to what he said. That in this business, he made up his mind, I'm putting my own words now, that I will not mix light with darkness in the area of corruption. That any country we go to, I'm not bribing any government official, I'm not giving kickback, I'm not kicking anything forward, I'm not kicking to the left or the right. Anything I cannot publish openly that we did, I will not do. Go and read his blog. He will tell you how many African leaders tried to get money out of him. Using his words, because he said it openly, I can say it openly also. He said, James Ibori told him he had to pay, I forgot how many millions of dollars, I quoted it here that time. He had to pay this money, and the man said, it is the money of the Delta State people I am not giving you. This was a Zimbabwean, not a Nigerian. He said, this money does not belong to you. The other governor in Akwa Ibom there, the same thing. Is it Akwa Ibom or Cross River? I think it was Akwa Ibom. He said to him, it is the money of the Akwa Ibom people I will not give you. They will meet in London, I will tell them to their faces, I'm not parting with a dime. James told him, I will kick you out of Nigeria. I told him, go ahead and do it. And do you know, James kicked him out of Nigeria. They bundled him, his workers, their families, took them to the airport and deported them. And God said, for this thing that you have done, you will go to prison. It took them 10 years fighting that case, but they eventually won it. And like he said at that time, there are laws, I'm putting my own words this time, there are laws that God had put in place to protect people like me. Make sure you don't, they were written by the Americans and the British. So he capitalized on those laws and squeezed those men tight. Those guys couldn't get anybody to buy V-Mobile. Because the man started from the beginning and said, I will not mix light with darkness. What am I preaching? That is the challenge for Christians today. When we're talking about something by grace, God said, I want to do 100-fold returns. But my people have so thoroughly mixed light with darkness. They did in their business schools, that's church we gather, talk about how to settle government officials. People say that, Christians, you will gather and sponsor your own candidate. God said you are mixing light with darkness. No matter, a member of your church, people will gather behind him and put him in power. When he becomes the MD of that bank, all your members will have jobs. God said you are mixing light with darkness. Gather behind a political candidate, support him. Then Christians will have doors to get political appointments and then be able to do big contracts. Then the gospel will have money to be preached. Like I said earlier, the gospel doesn't have a problem with money as it is right now. It has a problem with content. So now we'll be able to preach the gospel. God said, no, you are mixing light with darkness. And when you mix light with darkness, I cannot be a father unto you. Because he said, come out from amongst them and be separate. Then I will be a father to you in reality. Grace will flow. Somebody say amen. What we must do is to be careful that we don't hinder it. What we must do is to be careful to activate grace. Let me say this so I can close. There are two things, briefly, let me just quickly explain them. When it comes to the activation of grace, please get our School of Prayer series, which we titled Power to Possess the Land. This series we call Go In and Possess the Land. We have a parallel one running on Tuesdays during our School of Prayer, titled Power to Possess the Land. There I talked about this activation of grace extensively. How to do warfare with prophecy. Paul said, I'm writing these things to you so that you can by them do warfare. Fight an effective warfare. I'm telling the principles to use to work in your ministry. I'm telling the words to declare. These are the things to do Paul said that's how you fight effectively. That this gift came upon you two ways. One, by the laying on of my hands, and two, by the prophesying of the presbytery. He said, I'm reminding you so that you will be careful to do warfare with these things. He said to him, don't be timid. Timidity is something that heals grace. He told Timothy, don't be timid. Get up, be bold. The same thing that God told Jeremiah. You are getting my point. He said, what do? You activate grace by prophesying. Say, this is the word of God to me. This is what he has said. I am the... And listen, like I said last time, you don't have to be details in specific. So the Lord Jesus looked at the tree and said, nobody will eat of your fruit again. That's all. The tree knew how to arrange itself to die. The tree knew which root to shut down. He just said, nobody will eat of your fruit again. I pray that Christians will understand what I mean by grace. This is what grace is. You have your business in the local government. Like there was one particular Enugu authority person in Enugu in the last administration. Who this testimony that I heard from him, he took joy in painting any building with red. Whether your permit is correct or not, he must paint it red. Stop work. And then those two, that sign. Then you go to the office and say, why? And you know his mentality. This building is going to cost like 100 million naira. Nothing has entered my office. I'm serious. I'm giving you an authentic gist. Let's see what I'm talking about that. Such people, you know, the Bible says concerning Jesus, this child has been born for the rising and the falling of many. There are people that God has ordained, people that walk in grace to destroy. You will not even pray against him. Die, die. What thing concerning who won't die? Just look at him. Nobody will eat of this your fruit of oppression again. That's what Jesus did to the tree. He said, nobody will eat of this fruit, the fruit of this tree again. You just listen to him. This thing you are doing is not right. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Nobody will eat of your fruit again. How God will crumble him, you don't know. For some who are ordained, their cup is full, time to die. For some, no, you're not going to die. You just annoy the governor, and the governor will sack him. Why? Because you utter the word. That's grace. Grace is when you look at it and say, we need our raw materials. We have started a factory. We have invested God's money, 500 million naira. And our raw materials are not enough to be produced locally. We need to bring it from this particular place. But between regulations and customs, you know, officials, there is a problem. A grace man goes into his room. He doesn't talk to anybody. A grace woman goes in there and kneels down and says, Lord, the help that I need, it will come to me. Resources come. And they'll start rewriting rules. I hope you're getting my point. Grace people don't make too many phone calls. I don't know whether you get my point. They don't need a phone call to call heaven. Sometimes before they think, God is already acting. Let me explain what they call grace. That's what I'm going to emphasize. So that we know what we are going for, so that we stop polluting it. So we'll stop mixing light with darkness. Listen, when Satan wants to stop the work of grace, he doesn't come around and... you see a man of God. When I say man of God, I don't mean preacher now. Somebody who believes faith. He now come and tempt you with bribe. You know there are some things that he can't tempt you with. No, some things are not temptation. Like you are going on the road. Happily married man, preaching, you know, obeying God. And all of these girls that hang around at night. And now come and greet you. Hello. Is that temptation? I don't know whether you are getting my point. That's not even... Do you understand my point? What kind of temptation is that? Okay, it's a temptation to kill somebody. There are some things that... Look, and Satan is not stupid. No, he may be foolish. He's not stupid. There are some temptations he won't bring to some people. The kind of temptations he uses for those who are going for high levels of grace is what I'm talking about. He offers you a phone call. Call this man. He will help you. That is temptation. This is the issue. Say, when I come, what will I say? Beg him. You know, there are some things I told my wife I don't know how to do. I asked her. I don't know how to beg. I can apologize. So begging and apology is two different things. Though. I'm not talking about apology. Apology is different. If you are wrong, you should be able to say, I am sorry. But the one that you'll be using sorry to beg for what is not your own. to be using sorry to beg for favor, that's the one I don't know how to do. I'm bringing up something here. I'm talking about the temptation of a righteous man. You'll be surprised. That's the temptation. The temptation is to look at Pilate. Pilate says, do you know I have the power to release you or to condemn you? Now I say, Pilate, please, I'm just begging you. I'm the only son of my father. Is that the kind of sorry I'm saying? I can't say. It's not godly. You give me the phone, I will not say it. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Listen, let's be careful that we don't hinder the release of grace. Next time, I'll try and finish something. Talking about activation of grace. That when Elijah was going to call fire from heaven, he had to repair the altar. Are you getting my point? One of the things I want to explain is why we teach certain precepts here. That's the word. There are certain precepts that when grace wants to flow, it's like the circuits of God. If current wants to flow into this building, as we wire the building very well, we have the best equipment, the best lighting system, the best this, the best that. But there's a way we must connect the wire to the main power source. If we don't do it, power does not flow into the building. Are you getting my point? That is why we teach precepts. It is not as if the precepts, those principles, are the things that power the life of believers. We are just saying this is how power flows. I'll talk about that also. Because that is one thing we must do in activating the release of grace. Let me stop here. Let's bow our heads and just give the Lord thanks. All right? Let's give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Please just say after me, say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I have been set free.
In the name of Jesus,
in him I have life. Say, in him I have life.
Grace is working in me.
Grace is opening doors for me.
Grace is giving me skill.
Grace is making me excellent.
I have grace in all that I do.
I will not stop the flow of my grace.
I separate light
from darkness.
I walk in light,
and I don't walk in darkness.
Therefore, I walk in victory.
Therefore, I'm an overcomer.
Say it again. I am an overcomer.
I have overcome the devil.
I have overcome ancestral curses.
They have been broken in my life.
I just feel like reminding somebody, no matter the dream you dream, the devil is under your feet.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All the works of the devil, they are under your feet. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you let them be pressing in your sleep, when you wake up, go back to sleep and press them back. You get my point? And when you press, don't get to crush them. That's a matter of fact. In Christ Jesus, you are an overcomer. All right? In Christ Jesus, you are what? An overcomer. Say it with me. Say, in Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
Everything has become new.
I have righteousness.
God has called me righteous
because of my faith in Christ Jesus.
Please just put up your hands. Father, we give you thanks for today. And I bless your people with your blessing. I say, peace be unto you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace be with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These hands that you have up there, everything you put it to do will succeed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you get to your house, put a hand on that door and say, peace be upon this house. And the peace of God will dwell therein in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That peace will drive away diseases.
Amen.
It will drive away conflict between a husband and a wife.
Amen.
Peace, it will drive away the separation of a father from the children.
Amen.
It will break and bring to an end the conflict between the mother and her children.
Amen.
Peace will bring perfect health to every member of that household.
Amen.
It will bring prosperity.
Amen.
It will give a job to the man that's looking for it.
Amen.
To the woman who's looking for a job, she will get it.
Amen.
When you get to your home, put a hand on that door and say, peace be upon this house. When you enter your car, hold your steering and say, peace be upon this car. Anything that you do this coming week, say to it first of all in the morning, peace be upon you. And I prophesy to you, the peace of God will rest therein.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Don't be afraid on Monday, go about your business. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ.